This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Coming up on a Friday.
Save that.
World Series Day, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3, the Fan. I cannot believe it. World Series starts tonight up in Chavez Ravine. Michael King going against who? Michael Grove.
Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Close. Good guess.
Close.
Very close. Massively close. I can't believe it. I mean, you grind so hard for the entire season, and it all comes down to tonight against the Dodgers. The World Series. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. Be pacing around all day till 7 o'clock tonight. 7:05, I believe, is first pitch of the World Series. It's going to be unbelievable.
Seems like just late yesterday we were all together for an April round table.
Right.
And now
and
here we are.
The World Series starts tonight. Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday to you. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the EP, executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good World Series morning to you.
Good World Series morning to you. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us. You going up for the World Series tonight? Or are you going to watch it on TV?
No, I've got to watch it on TV
because
I don't want to miss anything.
Well, yeah. It's crazy because, you know, you think when the World Series gets here, you're like, I'll make the drive up. I'll make the trek. But yeah, I'm with you. I enjoy watching the World Series on TV, and that's what I'm going to do with my family tonight on a beautiful Friday night.
I'm a little lost in that. What's the point you're trying to make here?
That tonight is our World Series. That's what Dodger
ours fans, or theirs.
Ours.
That's it's what, ours.
Oh yeah.
I didn't get that sense.
Where have you been? Remember, Mookie Betts said, every team that plays this is their World Series. Then that that dip-ass reporter from L.A. was like, man, Cubs are playing this one like it's their World Series.
Got it now. Okay, got it.
It's their whole bit.
Sorry, I hate being the person who has to have things explained to them. But this morning, I guess it's Friday, and I need things explained to me completely.
I get it. It ruins the joke, but it's fine. I probably should have let you know that's where I was going.
Yeah, I had no idea.
But I like to be spontaneous.
I know you do.
I like to be spontaneous.
Yeah, I was a little lost there.
You were looking at me like I'd lost my mind. He's like, what?
I knew you were joking.
He's on mushrooms.
I just didn't know exactly the point you were trying to drive home.
Yeah.
Now I get it.
It's our World Series. Can't wait, man. Cannot wait.
There has been, in the past, like 2021, there were certain series that we did treat early in the season against the Dodgers perhaps a little too importantly.
Agreed.
You know, we change our pitching rotation.
100%. Dave Roberts did the same thing, though.
He did.
He switched
once. Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. But this time.
Last year?
Yeah, last year.
He did it last year. Padres did it 2 years ago.
He did.
And I don't think anyone's changing their pitching rotation for this series.
No. We're just going to keep rolling through and, try to win a game. Try to win a couple games would be fantastic. They're a good team. There's no doubt about it. They are a really good team. They're a very complete team. They have a deep team, certainly. And I think they're still the funny thing about them, as well as they're playing, I think they're still looking for the right combo of players and bullpen and everything else. But, it's going to be a challenge, but I love a challenge. I love watching games that have a little bit of extra juice, and that's what I'm looking forward to tonight on a Friday night. I was going to ask you guys, though. I had a moral dilemma. It was not an argument that I had in my home with my beautiful wife, who's in the chat this morning. It was not an argument per se, because I got shot down on it pretty quick. And so bear with me here. And you guys know me. You're going to have to take me at my word here. Okay, that there's no other ulterior motive.
So you got shot down already on this
thing. It's already off the table, but I wanted to present it to you guys to get your thoughts.
Hannah, Woodsy's a pleasure giver, okay?
I am a giver. Give back.
Give it back.
So she's going to go again tomorrow night to go see Sting and Billy Joel, okay, with her friend Ginny. And she said, do you mind if I go? I go, no, not at all. I love spending time with just the boys. It's easier. It's much easier. We have a blast. So I said, go. I'll take them to do something cool.
Oh, no, I know where this is going.
You
now.
Don't. You might.
I do.
So my six-year-old, for the last 2 weeks, okay. Bo, what do you want for dinner? Wings. What? I want wings. I really want wings. I want to try wings. I go, we're not getting wings. It's a Wednesday. Have a grilled cheese sandwich, and we'll get you some wings soon. Said, Mom's going to this concert on Saturday. What do you guys want to do? Bo goes, I want to go get wings. And I go, all right. So I started.
When the little ones get something in their heads, it's tough
it's
to.
It's over.
Like, get it out of their
Bro,
heads.
I'm 33. When I get something in my head,
you
I'm
too.
Like,
we
I'm
all.
Doing this.
I mean, he's going to be locked into the Masters all day. I don't know that I'd be besmirching 6-year-olds in their attention spans because we're all the same way. So my brain starts working and I go, well, what's my favorite wings? It's bar none, it's Hooters. Straight up. There used to be one up by us. I think it's gone. So there is one in Mission Valley. It also happens to be close to the bigger Dave and Buster's.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, I thought, I take the boys down. We suck down some wings at Hooters. We crush those. Then we go to Dave and Buster's. We rage at Dave and Buster's. And it's a great, fun night. She goes, you're not taking our 6-year-old and 3-year-old to Hooters. I said, why? She goes, it's obvious why you don't take them to Hooters. You're disgusting. I go, I'm not taking them there to look at tees. I'm taking them there to eat wings. And she's like, you're absolutely not going
Hooter research.
To do Hooter research at Hooters. And I kind of let it die, but I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
So my thoughts are it's actually fine to take your
I'm surprised that I'm kids. Glad that it's you have my back here.
Yeah, it really is just a restaurant. You know, and I don't think that the boys of your kids' age are really going to even notice anything in terms of the attire of the wait staff.
Bo goes to school on Monday. Hey, guess where I went?
Just crushed it at Hooters over the weekend with my dad. They're like, did your parents get divorced? Why are you at Hooters with your dad?
Did you drive your Corvette down
there? Yeah, I just loaded the kids up in the vet. We went down to Hooters. Yeah. And so I go, babe, I really like their wings. And she suggested a couple other places. I go, but I don't like those wings. They don't taste good to me.
I would say
Hooters naked wings are my favorite wings, bar none in the world. It's like almost the only wings I'll actually eat.
There are better wings.
They're well, that's all personal preference. Like some people's favorite pizza is Papa John's. I won't eat Papa John's with a gun to my head, right? I'm a round table guy, as you know.
Why
round table? Simply the best. So I go. So my. The way I reconciled, I said, I'm going to say this to her, and I'll say it to her right here on the air. What if I order a bunch of wings, and then we have, from Hooters, and we just do a little picnic in my car, like, in, you know, lift the back thing, sit back there, and have some wings? That would be fine, yes?
You can't even argue with
you
that.
You can't argue with that one. And we have a little picnic, sucking down Hooters wings. Now, they're going to have to walk inside with me to pick them up. I'm not leaving them in the car. They got to walk inside with me. It's not a strip club.
It's not. It's just
not like
a restaurant.
Taking them to, you know, no. Explicit or something like Delilah's here.
I mean,
here.
You can hit that on the way back from Dave and Buster's if you want.
What?
The strip club.
I could,
yeah.
But not with my children.
Or go take him to Jen Sturger's comedy show tonight in Claremont Mesa on the way back. Perfect timing.
Probably 18 and up, I would bet. They'd be sitting there going, what are we doing here? That's divorced dad energy for sure. I gotta go see this chick that I know. She's doing stand-up. Come on. She goes, you're not doing it. Absolutely not. So I guess I can't go.
I mean, could we...
Have you ever taken your kids to Hooters?
I feel like we did. I think Shelly and I had wings, and the boys were with us at some point when they were around your... I remember that.
Listen, when I go to a place like that, I'm there for the food. Okay? I'm not there for the entertainment. I've seen enough boobs in my life. I'm good. Like, my wife has perfect Hooters anyway. Why would I want to look at anyone else's Hooters except for her Hooters? So that's also the way I felt. I just want the wings. I don't think it's going to corrupt. Taylor may be into it. Bo, last night we were watching a movie and Sofia Vergara was on and she's beautiful. And I said, what do you think about her? She's really pretty. He goes, no. Like that. So I don't think it would. I don't even think it would affect them at all.
I think another issue here is, though, that do you not like sauced wings at all?
So I get them. They have a little, I don't like breaded wings. I like, they're naked, but when it's naked, it doesn't mean they're dry. It means that they're not breaded. Because I actually don't like their breaded wings. I like the naked wings, no breading, and rolled in sauce.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's buffalo sauce on there.
So naked doesn't mean sauceless. Mm-mm. It means non-breaded.
And I'll eat now, sauceless wings, too.
Most chicken wings are not breaded when you order them at the sports bar or what have you. They're
right.
Sauced, but they're not. They're fried,
yeah.
But without breading on top.
Now Hooters has breaded wings.
I do like their breaded wings.
I think that's weird.
They're like little fried chicken wings, and they're pretty tasty.
Here's the thing. Everyone is recommending to me different wing places. I don't want different wings. I want those wings. Those are the wings that I like. People are like, well, there's better wings. There probably is. It's like sometimes if you just want a steak, you're like, I'll just get a steak from friggin' California Pizza Kitchen because they deliver. I'm not going to go to Rare Society every time I want a steak. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you just, these are the wings that I like.
Everybody in the chat is shouting out, in particular, Dirty Birds, and I would fully endorse.
Where is Dirty Birds?
They have a bunch of locations.
Do they have half-nude waitresses?
I thought that wasn't where you were going.
It's not. I'm just making sure.
No, they don't.
Okay.
College area, Liberty Station, Ocean Beach, Pacific Beach, and UCSD La Jolla.
Remember the place? What was the place that was down by the ballpark with the girls in the? I think they
wore kilts.
Yeah, they wore like Catholic schoolgirl uniforms right by the ballpark.
Oh yeah,
Scottish themed restaurant.
Yes, it was.
I'm back at the old station.
Yeah, you did a lot of remotes.
We did a lot of remotes at the Mission Valley one because we're dudes and we talk about sports and we have 18 reporters on every week.
I wonder how many waitresses were hit on by a certain morning or a certain couple of show hosts from that from that place, you know, during those remotes. So I may do the Hooters picnic. Minus the Hooters, you know, just get the wings.
My and again, I don't think you're wrong, especially about personal opinion on something like wings.
They just taste good to me.
I think the difference between wings at various restaurants is rather small.
I disagree.
I think they're pretty small differences.
I disagree fully. I really do. I think
I can absolutely. If you did a taste test, I could tell you Hooters, Buffalo Wild Wings, or
Dirty Birds.
Dirty Birds, yeah,
but some people will prefer any of the three.
Yeah,
based
absolutely.
On the differences. I don't think that there's one, far and away, these are the best wings. It really does come down to personal preference on something like wings.
Hannah said that her dad one time, the great Lauren Nancaro, got in trouble from her mom during his live shot at the grand opening of the Tilted Kilt. What could he possibly have been doing? He's like, two girls on his lap. I'm Lauren Nancaro, the grand opening of Tilted Kilt down here by the ballpark.
I do worry when a restaurant has a sub theme. Like if the food is not considered the draw, that worries me because
I want to
go to a restaurant that takes pride in their food, and if they think they're drawing people in for a reason other than the food.
I call that a double whammy, though.
That worries me a little bit.
The food tastes good and, you know, whatever. You get the...
It's possible. I'm not saying the picnic.
You can't really do that with wings.
You can. If I get them, we go right to my car and eat in the Hooters parking lot, we're good.
They're extremely messy.
Massively messy.
You need so many napkins.
Bro,
you need to be sitting down.
I am a dad. I have paper towels in my car. I have wipes in my car. These kids S themselves on a daily, but you never know when they're going to absolutely pee or crap their pants. You got to be prepared at all times. I keep them in my baseball bag. I'm covered there. So I think maybe we'll do that. I think maybe we'll just do a cool picnic. Nothing like a cool picnic in Mission Valley somewhere in a parking lot at like 6 o'clock on a Saturday night. That should go really well. We're much safer in Hooters.
I still totally don't understand Mission Valley. There's like 27,000 hotel rooms in Mission Valley. It's the last place in San Diego I'd ever want to stay if I was coming to visit.
Buddy, you don't know that if you're from Akron, though.
Apparently
you go,
not.
You see, you go, ooh, Hotel Circle. This must be awesome. It's a circle of hotel. There's a golf course right here.
Right there.
There's a mall.
Last September, my mother and her husband were in town. They came in the studio, hung out with us. 2 weeks before their trip, she goes, I go, where are you staying? And she sends me the address. And she goes, we're staying in this place called Oceanside. Now, Oceanside, I will say, I know we have a lot of people that listen to Oceanside. There are some rough parts of Oceanside.
There are.
There's also, it's really changing.
It's on the rise. Yeah.
I've driven through there. It looks gorgeous. She sent me she's a cheapo and she's listening right now. I'm sure she is. She will just take the cheapest hotel she can find, try to save a few bucks. Gary Woods knows. And she sends me this dress and I go, absolutely not.
My parents
put her at a Hilton Garden Inn in Del Mar.
You're going to be fine over there. You couldn't stay further away also. Like, it's the least convenient
place. But she doesn't know that. She lives in the middle of nowhere, Washington, and she sees Oceanside.
It's the side by the ocean.
If you Google Oceanside, you're probably going to get great review. You know what I mean? And she's like, oh, this is going to be beautiful. I'm like, not that part of Oceanside, Mom.
Cole says, if you have an air fryer, you can make your own wings. I don't want to make my own wings. I don't want any other wings. I just want Hooters wings. And not served between the breasts of a waitress at Hooters. I don't want that. I'm not even going looking for that part of it. I just want to eat the wings. I'll wear my sleep mask if I have to and just eat wings sitting at my table. So she's put the kibosh on it. I'm going to choose probably not to be rebellious in this and go against her.
I think you can use this as an opportunity to find some good wings.
What if they suck?
They don't.
What if they do?
I don't trust that Woods, even if everyone else loved the wings, would like the wings.
He'd be the one.
Yeah, he'd be the one that, these aren't any. Yeah, these are terrible.
Here's what I do know. Whatever they are, they won't satisfy the craving that I have for Hooters right now. And I mean Hooters wings. Okay? When I start craving Hooters, that's all I want. Hooters, 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 Hooters. So we'll
Hooter
see.
Hooter research.
We'll see if we do the picnic. That might be a good idea. And then go to, I mean, it is the most divorced dad night of my life. Hooters wings with my kids straight to Dave and Buster's in Mission Valley. I mean, it doesn't get any better. Blasting Creed in the car.
Tell your mom, I said.
Yeah, tell your mom that she needs to send that check.
So good.
Well, thank you for entertaining me and entertaining my parental questions here, but yeah, I don't really know what to do. The kibosh has been put down. I don't see that. Everyone's equal to me. That's how I look at it.
This is tonight.
Tomorrow night.
No, that's tomorrow night for Billy Joel and Sting.
Yeah.
Because you do have games to watch this weekend as well.
What time is the game tomorrow?
I think tomorrow is a little earlier, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe we'll do the afternoon Hooters trip /
tomorrow.
Dave and Buster's.
6:10.
Yeah, 1 hour earlier than the 7:10 that tonight's game starts at.
All right. Sunday night baseball.
Okay, I got to take my shirt off because I'm sweating. Or my hoodie.
Whew. All right, we actually have a few guests on the program this morning. We'll give you the menu, lay out what we've got planned here on a Friday, a Fryer Friday, of course, with Ben and Woods. We had a good roundtable yesterday. Talk about all of it coming up. Glad to have you with us as we wrap up the week. On San Diego's number one sports station, let's get a check of traffic with Kelly Danick, and then off and running on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, that was a fun one. That was a fun conversation. The chat just went the chat just went ham in there. Like, it just went crazy. I think I figured out the reason why she really doesn't want me to go. If I go in there with those two little G's, there's going to be like 20 servers hanging around the table. When I go anywhere with them, it's like, you hear that. You'll be walking through CVS and you'll hear, like Bo, especially, he's got the thing.
He's got it.
And people like are drawn to him. It's very, very, it's not strange. I mean, he's beautiful. And Taylor, too. Taylor's so funny and his big personality. Hannah also knows if I'm sitting there at the table with them, it's not going to be one server. There's going to be like 20 servers sniffing around.
It's not like you're going home with any of them.
That's my point. Exactly. It's exactly right.
You're going to get really good service.
Great service.
At a restaurant where you like the food. That's a win-win.
That's win-win right there.
That's a win-win.
I know. You see it. You see it. I'm glad you see it, buddy.
All right. We've got a good Friday show for you here, wrapping up the week. Off day for the Padres yesterday. Had a good round table. Everybody was in the studio, a little cramped in here, but
I had a blast.
We got it done, and we had some good conversations yesterday.
Hannah said to me, I met her for an appointment right after, and she goes, hey, that sounded really, really good. And I said, I have fun doing it. That's the misconception. I really have fun doing it. I told Tony Gwynn Jr. walking out, if you've missed the roundtable yesterday, you can go back and listen. I could listen to him talk. I really feel like the roundtable should be Ben asking Tony Gwynn Jr. Questions, and then we weigh in with our own question because he's the only one that played at the highest level. And so that's kind of the guy I lean to. And
we don't get to see Tony very often.
We don't.
When he is in studio, which is rare during baseball season,
sure.
It's hours after we're out of here, and got to see him yesterday for 5 minutes, talk to him. It's so much fun hearing him talk baseball.
And listening to his explanations of things, yeah. And like,
it weighs a little bit more.
You feel like, I felt like an idiot when Ben was asking me a question, and I'm answering, but I'm looking like this out of the corner of my eye to see if he's nodding or going, or shaking his head. You know, like, it's a little bit nerve-wracking, but he's so good on it.
So, we can talk a little bit more about if you missed the round table. I thought there were some good points made. Woods made some good points.
Did you play it?
We could have played it for an hour, but that's okay. We're also going to talk about the update, the details that came out yesterday on the Shohei Ohtani translator, Ipe Mizuhara, federal investigator, the complaint that was filed, the charges that he is facing, and how on earth this all got away from everybody and got away from Shohei Ohtani. And the bottom line, I think, here is that I don't think Shohei Ohtani did anything wrong at all. I know that some people won't be convinced of that, but if you read through the complaint and the articles about what actually transpired, it does sound like Shohei Ohtani, is unbelievable as it was, did not know that millions of dollars, like now they're talking about 16 millions of his dollars, were just stolen from him by his translator without his knowledge over the period of just like a year and a half. And the gambling details are gnarly, absolutely gnarly. And we'll talk about that coming up here later in our first hour of the program. Second hour of the show, we will start our guests after Take on Woods and Don't Do This. Kevin Charity, our friend from Mad Friars, is going to join us. All the Padres minor league affiliates, season's underway. Like Graham Pauly had a couple of home runs at AAA last night. Good start as
what
he goes back,
mean?
But doesn't mean anything. And there that's off to a good start that could impact the Padres this season. Talk to Kevin Charity from Mad Friars at 7:35. Then right at 8, we'll have our Friday conversation with our friends from Cespedes Family Barbecue. Both Jake and Jordan are going to be with us. They were going to do it last week. We switched it. They're going to both be with us this week. Our friends at Grand Ole Barbecue always present that conversation with two of the better baseball guys that are covering the sport nowadays. Really entertaining content.
Yep.
And always enjoy having them. Had them last season. They are back this year. And then it's a Friar Friday, so after we'll do an early Rindle report, Mike Schilt will join us at 9 o'clock from Los Angeles. He went up yesterday, so he'll be waking up in the morning and joining us as they get ready for a later game tonight against the Los Angeles Dodgers. 7-10 start to open the three-game series at Chavez Ravine, and we'll talk with the skipper, Mike Schilt, this morning at 9 o'clock.
Good show right there, buddy. Very excited about it.
Yeah, looking forward to, it was a good off day. Thanks to the series win and the win by the Padres on Wednesday, I think everyone could feel good about it. I did find it interesting, and we can discuss this as well, but did you read, Kevin Acey wrote a piece on the off day, just kind of about where the Padres kind of stand, and I found it notable that he did a little game. He went and asked every player that he could run into, what's your record? None of them know the record of the team.
Interesting.
And I was surprised by that because every morning it's like, I live and die. What's the Padres record? All right, they're one game under 500 now. They're 7-8 after the win. And I kind of, all right, if they could just win 2 out of 3 here against the Dodgers, they can get back to 500. And I think about that constantly. And it strikes me as interesting that the players almost never think about it. Like Tatis was the only one who was close. I think we're like a game or so under 500. The other guy said, I got no idea. You tell me, what's our record? I feel like they all felt like we're doing what we're trying to do. We're playing well. We like how we're starting the season. But, like, does that translate to more wins than losses? They didn't know. They're so in the day, in the game that they're playing that day.
Makes sense.
That the big picture is almost completely lost on players who were involved in the baseball season.
And it's probably by design. You know what I mean? It's probably a conscious thing of like, no, man, I got to. It's so day by day, and it's so at bat by at bat. It's so pitch by pitch. That's why the season is so long. If you sat there and like, oh crap, we're 7-8, right? Are we 7-8?
7-8.
I don't even know either. We're 7-8 right now. That's a game below. If we win these two, if we win two, you can't. You can't do it. You'll go crazy.
But I do it all the time.
Well, yeah,
but players don't.
You're different. Yeah. You're different. How many shows have we done this year? I have no idea. How many good shows have we done this year? 4. You know? So I do know. We've done 4 good shows. It's April.
I would say we've done like 74 good shows this year.
I don't even know that we've done 74 shows this year. Look, he's doing the math.
Yeah, we've done at least 74 shows.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, 4 good shows, 4 and 70 on the season. We got time. It's early. Let's go to break.
All right, we're going to come back. We'll talk about the unbelievable details in the Ipe Mizuhara federal charges that were coming out yesterday. Talked about it a little bit, like the breaking news the day before, but this is now.
The text messages.
The text messages. Yes, Paulie, the text messages.
He basically says, I'm cooked.
Unbelievable.
Sweets the Texas guy back.
Unlike anything I think we've ever seen in the
Correct.
To actually see the messages and the details, it was weird.
It's coming up next here with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Gamble responsibly. They had that tagline to the end of most of those commercials that you hear.
Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, TETE-000-466.
Yeah.
And now you can see why they do that, because there are some people who cannot gamble responsibly. I don't know that I've ever seen an instance of someone gambling as irresponsibly, though, as Ipe Mizuhara.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of who the biggest moron.
I mean, you can talk about Michael Jordan and how it impacted his career, maybe, and his life.
He had
tons of money. Phil Mickelson, but he had the money. Tons of money. But to be gambling on the levels that Ipe Mizuhara was gambling,
it's like nothing I've ever seen.
On the salary that he was obviously making.
There's 3 idiots in this story. I still think Ohtani is to blame for some of this. Like, how do you not notice money? And again, the details will come out.
We've talked about it,
though. I understand. It just boggles my mind that you could not even be aware of losing that much money. Then Mizuhara, obviously, is an idiot. And then who's this bookie that's just, like, going to let it keep going? Like,
well,
at what point do you go, no, dude, you need to give me some money
first? He did. If you read the report, there were times when he said at one point, this was creepy. He goes, hey.
Oh, I saw this part.
You're not responding. I saw
Victim A,
which is Shohei Ohtani. I saw him walking his dog. I'm about to go up to him unless you get me some money. That's when the panic would set in. And that's, look, I don't like the Dodgers. I know that. I don't think this kid did anything wrong. I really don't.
Ohtani.
I think he's a rube. and there's still things that I question. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I see some of those questions in our chat. Let's get into what some of those questions are and what the actual federal complaint says and how it does address some of those questions about how this actually happened. We'll talk about that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. One of the points I'm seeing a lot, chat, other people talking about the Shohei Ohtani translator story. And Joe in our chat says, my bank alerts me, sends a SWAT team, assigns an investigator to my account when 30 cents comes out in a weird transaction. No way Shohei was clueless and not involved. And I keep hearing that, and I had the exact same concerns. But based on the report that came out yesterday and the federal complaint, the explanation for that, and maybe you have trouble believing this as well, none of the parties that you would expect to be like, okay, what's going on with these wire transfers? The bank, his agent, his financial advisors, they all were aware going, this is weird. Something is going on here. And so they would continue to contact Shohei Ohtani. How did they contact Shohei Ohtani? None of them spoke Japanese. So they would call Ipe Mizuhara. And Ipe Mizuhara would say, yeah, I just talked to Shohei. He says, no, well, this is a private account. It's nothing to worry about. He would continually lie to the people who were checking on Shohei Ohtani to make sure it was okay because they all had to go through him first. And it should that have raised some red flags? Absolutely. I think some people missed the boat on what could be happening here. And it's a huge warning that you should never let anybody have that much power over your personal data, information, and life as Shohei Ohtani did with his translator. However, when you don't speak the language and you're in a new country and you are going to be reliant on some people, and he put his trust in the wrong person, is basically what seems to have happened here. Was that your read on the same thing once?
Yeah, my read is that, you know, we talked a little bit about it yesterday. My number one question, Ben, C20 Moreno nailed it. The only thing I question, and this guy must have his head in the clouds more than any human being on the planet. If we spent 24 hours a day together, I would know damn well what you were up to. I spend 4 hours with you guys a day, and I know damn well everything that's going on in your lives. And you guys know everything that's going on in my life. If I was making 22 bets a day, betting college soccer at 160 grand a clip, I think you guys would know about it. And this is a period of a few years. This isn't like one bender, you know, where he's like, I went nuts for like a month. This is over years. Now, maybe Ipe got so good at, which, by the way, addicts will do. Addicts will absolutely find ways to explain things away. No, this happened and this happened. And no, don't worry about it. You know, I'm calling my mom, whatever it may be. Like, addicts are brilliant. They're brilliant. I mean, they're brilliant at hiding their addiction. So that's the one thing I thought about was like, how did he not know his buddy liked to get this much action? You know, get this much action on games and as many games. That's not anything illegal. You know what I mean? Being a dummy isn't punishable. You know, you don't need to be suspended because you're unaware. The other one to me is he clearly has a really smart team of people working for him. Anybody that would take a deal like he took from the Dodgers, right? With the deferments and, you know, now this loophole that they found and exploited. He's got a good, smart team around him. Nobody knew? Fine. Ipe was the conduit to all of it? Fine. I guess I buy it. I don't really have a choice. I didn't think they were going to do anything to Shohei anyway. Even if he was found guilty of covering his debts, I still didn't think anything was going to happen to him. I really didn't. I never thought this was going to go anywhere suspension-wise, and as much as we want that to be true,
that would have honestly been the most believable scenario.
For me, I actually probably would have gone with that story to save face.
Yeah.
Literally to save face and be like,
hey, I didn't place a single bet, but that's my boy.
He needed the help.
He's working on his issues, but I need to help him out.
I covered his ass. That's what I did.
I would buy that 100%.
I'm telling you, man, when you start reading the text from Ipe to the bookie, that's when your heart starts to break a little bit because you see a guy that is so far down in the hole doing anything he can to get his way out. And that meant lying, that meant cheating, that meant stealing, that meant turning off notifications, messing with bank transfer, all of it.
Yeah,
all
he
of
changed,
it.
He changed like the settings on Ohtani's account to make sure the phone number, the email, he was getting everything that would be sent to Shohei Ohtani bank related. And whether you believe it or not, the Fed report, this is what is in there. And the reason why I do have some trust here in Ohtani is that the federal report also said Ohtani gave them his phone. And they went through, like, Ohtani's phone, like, all the text messages he sent to Ipe, which had to be tens of thousands of them, if not hundreds of thousands over the last few years. And there was not any mention of gambling in any of them. There was nothing suspicious in all of the texts that were sent between the two of them over several years. So unless they were planning this in advance, like, okay, before we even start, we got to have our complete burner phones that we use to communicate with this. And in that case, then he's like the most evil genius of all time. It does sound to me like Shohei Ohtani was a victim of both not only his translator, but some incompetence on the part of the people who should have been looking out for him to not see what was going on.
Yeah, he's got a big agency. CAA is his. I mean, that's a huge black eye for them. Huge. Like, if you're an athlete, and especially if you're an athlete from a foreign country, anybody signing with CAA right now? No. Look at what just happened. I just lost $16.5 million under your nose. And again, ultimately, it's on Shohei. It's under my nose. That's my money. Man, I'm not going to. Look, again, I don't necessarily feel terrible for him. This would suck to happen to you, but he's gonna get his money back. Nothing's gonna happen to him. He's not gonna get suspended. Like, it's a tough lesson to learn. Don't trust anybody, especially if you're beyond filthy rich. And I just reading the text messages, man, made my skin crawl. Please bump me again. This is the last time I'll ask. Please bump me. I won't ask again.
Extending more credit. Getting deeper into the hole.
We're talking like on a Monday he would send that text, and then on a Tuesday, hey, this is the last time I'm going to ask. It is, if you've ever been addicted to anything, it's gnarly.
Remember when the story first broke and the number that was reported as how much Mizuhara had lost in gambling debts was around $4 million. And I said, okay, but keep in mind that if you've lost $4 million gambling, yeah, you've probably bet around $40 million because that's how gambling works. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some. You know, figure about 10% is what's on average you're going to lose. Well, as it turned out, the number he actually lost and stole from Shohei Ohtani, well, he stole about $16 million. The number he lost was like $40 million. And he was a bad gambler, but they said that he made, what, $180 million in bets. And not, this is not over like 50 years. This is over the last couple of years.
It was 182 and then 142, the difference being 40 something million dollars. I mean, it is the amounts of bets. I think they said the highest bet he made, which makes my stomach turn, $160,000 on a game. And again, all over the map. College, they said no baseball bets, which, that part to me, also, I'm not saying it doesn't add up.
You've never bet on college soccer?
No.
Little NC State, no, women, no, action?
Never.
No, never? Okay, good.
And I like to place a bet or two, but it just goes to show you how dangerous it can be, you know, and that you have to bet with your head and not over it. You have to set a limit. And, you know, it's really a scary thing, certainly. And we've normalized it. I've normalized it. We all, you know, place bets and stuff like that. I don't mean to normalize it because I don't want that to happen to
someone.
Well,
and that is the danger. And I'm glad you brought that up because there is a certain view that gambling, even with an illegal bookmaker, hey, kind of a victimless crime. You know what you're getting into.
Yep.
They're providing a service. You know, it's a business relationship. And if you're a consenting adult and you can do it responsibly, it's not that big of a deal. Unfortunately, when it is under the table, when it is with a bookie like this, the texts that really were the scary ones was when he was getting so deep into the hole and the bookie would say, I'm going to need some sort of payment. And so that put the pressure on Ipe. Obviously, I got to get the money somehow, and I've got access to, you know, Shohei's stuff. So he'd start sending, because all they would send him, let him send, was 500,000 at a time. And he could do that once a week. And the bookie would say, you know, I like you, man. And, you know, I trust you, but my partner here, you know, he needs to see some money. The unnamed partner, and the threat was implied in those texts. Like, it's going to be out of my hands.
It's out of my hands.
If you don't get some money. That's a threat of physical harm and violence right there. Even though it's not explicitly said, that's how I read some of those texts from the illegal bookmaker.
If you ever watched Sopranos, they're sending Furio. Like, Furio's coming to your house. He's knocking on the door, ponytail and all. And you better have my money.
Gonna break your kneecaps.
It's out of my hands. I can't do anything about it. Furio is coming. And you better have that money ready. No excuses. And that's when you can see, you know, the panic set in. And that's when you do whatever you have to do.
Stookie Brothers.
Self-preservation, by the way, I mean, can make people do some really, really awful things. Look, there's no doubt. I would be embarrassed if this happened to me. I would. I'd be mortified. Like, how could I be such a rube?
But it also is not really out of their hands. The bookmakers are also doing something illegal, and they should realize that, you know, it's not okay to be threatening people for this money. Even if they were adults and they went into this relationship and they lost it, to pressure someone who doesn't have the money to come up with money like that, that is the actual, like, the biggest crime that's committed.
You're
here.
A sweet kid for thinking that that's not how it works.
I know that's not how it works, but that is what we're talking about. That's why illegal bookmaking is a problem and is something that, while a lot of people can do responsibly, and yeah, no, I only bet like 100, 200 bucks a week, whatever. It's fun. I enjoy it.
Sure.
You know, always settle up with my guy. It's not a problem for probably the vast majority of people who do it. When there's no controls, when there's no system in place, this is where the concern is on a legal, ethical, moral level when it comes to illegal gambling.
Yeah, man. It's, you know, again, and like I said from the get-go, they were never, nothing was ever going to happen. This dude, I don't want to say, and again, this isn't because he's guilty or innocent, but he kind of transcends it right now. And if you're going to paint him as just the dumb rube with his head in the clouds, or is he's just so focused on baseball, that's kind of the narrative I didn't want to hear at the beginning. But if that's really the case, and this guy was ripping phone calls, talking to the bank, changing notifications in his phone, that's a lot of trust to give one person. Doesn't make you a criminal. Makes you a moron. Yep. Makes you a moron. Doesn't make you a criminal. It makes you one of the dumber guys around to go, here's my phone, here's my accounts, have a ball, I'm going to go shag flies. Doesn't make you a criminal. It makes you dumb. And there's no question about it.
I don't care how much you trusted that one individual. When we're talking these figures with that status of superstar,
yeah,
you're an idiot.
Well, and that's why the bookie, I mean, it's very clear in the text, that's why the bookie kept extending him. He knew who was not backing him, but he knew who he had access to.
And when you're the bookie, it's always good to have a guy deeper and deeper in the hole.
100%.
I mean, you just have more control over that person.
Exactly
It's deeper that they go.
It's called the bust out in the Sopranos. You can go take over their sporting goods store. You know, but like, it is, it's a gnarly story. You know, he'll be fine. It hasn't slowed him down. I think that you have to be.
I think when you're
a baseball player of that ilk and that stature, you have to be a little bit sociopathic. I don't think you have a choice. Like, I think you have to be unaffected by most things around you.
Ultimately, it's a very expensive lesson, but it's one that he can afford.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Most of us couldn't, but Shohei Ohtani can afford this incredibly expensive lesson in the real world and how things work. All right, we'll come back. We're going to play a little Take on Woods, get you set. We got a Dodgers series coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Gamble responsibly. They had that tagline to the end of most of those commercials that you
hear. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEGE 000466.
Yeah. And now you can see why they do that, because there are some people who cannot gamble responsibly. I don't know that I've ever seen an instance of someone gambling as irresponsibly, though, as Ipe Mizuhara.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of who the biggest moron.
I mean,
in
you
this
can talk about
is.
Michael Jordan and how it impacted his career, maybe, and his
he
life.
Had
but
the
he
money,
had,
though.
He had tons of money. Phil Mickelson, but he had
the money.
Tons of money. But to be gambling on the levels that Ipe Mizuhara was gambling,
it's like nothing I've ever seen.
On the salary that he was obviously making.
There's three idiots in this story. I still think Ohtani is to blame for some of this. Like, how do you not notice money? And again, the details will come out.
We've talked about it,
though. I understand. It just boggles my mind that you could not even be aware of losing that much money. Then Mizuhara obviously is an idiot. And then who's this bookie that's just like going to let it keep going? Like,
well,
at what point do you go, no, dude, you need to give me some money?
He did. If you read the report, there were times when he said at one point, this was creepy. He goes, hey,
I saw this part.
You're not responding. I saw A.
Victim A.
Victim A, which is Shohei Ohtani. I saw him walking his dog. I'm about to go up to him. Whoa. Unless you get me some money. That's when the panic would set in. And that's, look. I don't like the Dodgers. I know that. I don't think this kid did anything wrong. I really don't. I think he's a rube, and there's still things that I question.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I see some of those questions in our chat. Let's get into what some of those questions are and what the actual federal complaint says and how it does address some of those questions about how this actually happened. We'll talk about that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. One of the points I'm seeing a lot, chat, other people talking about the Shohei Ohtani translator story. And Joe in our chat says, my bank alerts me, sends a SWAT team, assigns an investigator to my account when 30 cents comes out in a weird transaction. No way Shohei was clueless and not involved. And I keep hearing that, and I had the exact same concerns. But based on the report that came out yesterday and the federal complaint, the explanation for that, and maybe you have trouble believing this as well, none of the parties that you would expect to be like, okay, what's going on with these wire transfers? The bank, his agent, his financial advisors, they all were aware going, this is weird. Something is going on here. And so they would continue to contact Shohei Ohtani. How did they contact Shohei Ohtani? None of them spoke Japanese. So they would call Ipe Mizuhara. And Ipe Mizuhara would say, yeah, I just talked to Shohei. He says, no, well, this is a private account. It's nothing to worry about. He would continually lie to the people who were checking on Shohei Ohtani to make sure it was okay, because they all had to go through him first. And it should that have raised some red flags? Absolutely. I think some people missed the boat on what could be happening here. And it's a huge warning that you should never let anybody have that much power over your personal data, information, and life, as Shohei Ohtani did with his translator. However, when you don't speak the language and you're in a new country and you are going to be reliant on some people, and he put his trust in the wrong person, is basically what seems to have happened here. Was that your read on the same thing once?
Yeah, my read is that, you know, we talked a little bit about it yesterday. My number one question, Ben, my number one question, C20 Moreno nailed it. The only thing I question, and this guy must have his head in the clouds more than any human being on the planet. If we spent 24 hours a day together, I would know damn well what you were up to. I spend 4 hours with you guys a day, and I know damn well everything that's going on in your lives. And you guys know everything that's going on in my life. If I was making 22 bets a day, betting college soccer at 160 grand a clip, I think you guys would know about it. It's, and this is a period of a few years. This isn't like one bender, you know, where he's like, I went nuts for like a month. This is over years. Now, maybe Ipe got so good at, and which, by the way, addicts will do. Addicts will absolutely find ways to explain things away. No, no, this happened and this happened. And no, no, don't worry about it. You know, I'm calling my mom, whatever it may be. Like, addicts are brilliant. They're brilliant. I mean, they're brilliant at hiding their addiction. So that's the one thing I thought about was like, how did he not know his buddy liked to get this much action? You know, get this much action on games and as many games. That's really the, but that's not anything illegal. You know what I mean? Being a dummy isn't punishable. You know, you don't need to be suspended because you're unaware. The other one to me is he clearly has a really smart team of people working for him. Anybody that would take a deal like he took from the Dodgers, right? With the deferments and, you know, now this loophole that they found and exploited. He's got a good, smart team around him. Nobody knew? Fine. Ipe was the conduit to all of it? Fine. I guess I buy it. I don't really have a choice. I didn't think they were going to do anything to Shohei anyway. Even if he was found guilty of covering his debts, I still didn't think anything was going to happen to him. I really didn't. I never thought this was going to go anywhere suspension-wise. And as much as we want that to be true,
that would have honestly been the most believable scenario.
For me, I actually probably would have gone with that story to save face.
Yeah.
Literally to save face and be like,
hey, I didn't place a single bet, but that's my boy.
He needed the help.
He's working on his issues, but I need to help him out.
I covered his ass. That's what I did.
I would buy that 100%.
I'm telling you, man. When you start reading the text from Ipe to the bookie, that's when your heart starts to break a little bit because you see a guy that is so far down in the hole doing anything he can to get his way out. And that meant lying, that meant cheating, that meant stealing, that meant turning off notifications, messing with bank transfer, all of it.
Yeah, he changed like the settings on Ohtani's account to make sure the phone number, the email he was getting, everything that would be sent to Shohei Ohtani bank related. And whether you believe it or not, the Fed report, this is what is in there. And the reason why I do have some trust here in Ohtani is that the federal report also said Ohtani gave them his phone and they went through like Ohtani's phone, like all the text messages he sent to Ipe, which had to be tens of thousands
at
of
least,
them,
at
if
least.
Not hundreds of thousands over the last few years. And there was not any mention of gambling in any of them. There was nothing suspicious in all of the texts that were sent between the two of them over several years. So unless they were planning this in advance, like, okay, before we even start, we got to have our complete burner phones that we use to communicate with this. And in that case, then he's like the most evil genius of all time. It does sound to me like Shohei Ohtani was a victim of both not only his translator, but some incompetence on the part of the people who should have been looking out for him to not see what was going on.
Yeah, he's got a big agency. CAA is his. I mean, that's a huge black eye for them. Huge. Like, if you're an athlete, and especially if you're an athlete from a foreign country, anybody signing with CAA right now? No. Look at what just happened. I just lost $16.5 million under your nose. And again, ultimately, it's on Shohei. It's under my nose. That's my money. Man, I don't necessarily feel terrible for him. This would suck to happen to you, but he's gonna get his money back. Nothing's gonna happen to him. He's not gonna get suspended. Like, it's a tough lesson to learn. Don't trust anybody, especially if you're beyond filthy rich. And I just reading the text messages, man, made my skin crawl. Made my skin crawl. Please bump me again. This is the last time I'll ask. Please bump me. Please bump me. I won't ask again.
Which means extending more credit.
Extending more credit.
Getting deeper into the hole.
We're talking like on a Monday, he would send that text. And then on a Tuesday, hey, this is the last time I ask. It is, if you've ever been addicted to anything, it's gnarly.
Remember when the story first broke and the number that was reported as how much Mizuhara had lost in gambling debts was around $4 million. And I said, Okay, but keep in mind that if you've lost $4 million gambling, you've probably bet around $40 million because that's how gambling works. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some. You know, figure about 10% is what's on average you're going to lose. Well, as it turned out, the number he actually lost and stole from Shohei Ohtani, well, he stole about $16 million. The number he lost was like $40 million. And he was a bad gambler, but they said that he made, what, $180 million in bets. And not this is not over like 50 years. This is over the last couple of years.
It was $182 million and then $142 million, the difference being $40-something million. I mean, it is the amounts of bets. I think they said the highest bet he made, which makes my stomach turn, $160,000 on a game. And again, all over the map. College, they said no baseball bets, which that part to me, also, I'm not saying it doesn't add up.
You've never bet on college soccer?
No.
Little NC State action?
Never.
No? Never? Okay, good.
And I like to place a better too, but it just goes to show you how dangerous it can be. You know, and that you have to bet with your head and not over it. You have to set a limit. And, you know, it's really a scary thing, certainly. And we've normalized it. I've normalized it. We all, you know, place bets and stuff like that. I don't mean to normalize it because I don't want that to happen to
someone. Well, and that is the danger. And I'm glad you brought that up because there is a certain view that gambling, even with an illegal bookmaker, hey, kind of a victimless crime. You know what you're getting into.
Yep.
They're providing a service. You know, it's a business relationship. And if you're a consenting adult and you can do it responsibly, it's not that big of a deal. Unfortunately, when it is under the table, when it is with a bookie like this, the texts that really were the scary ones was when he was getting so deep into the hole and the bookie would say, I'm going to need some sort of payment. And so that put the pressure on Ipe. Obviously, I got to get the money somehow, and I've got access to, you know, Shohei's stuff. So he'd start sending, because all they would send him, let him send, was $500,000 at a time. And he could do that once a week. And the bookie would say, you know, I like you, man, and, you know, I trust you, but my partner here, you know, he needs to see some money. The unnamed partner, and the threat was implied in those texts. Like, it's going to be out of my hands.
It's out of my hands.
If you don't get some money. That's a threat of physical harm and violence right there. Even though it's not explicitly said, that's how I read some of those texts from the illegal bookmaker.
If you ever watched Sopranos, they're sending Furio. Like, Furio's coming to your house. He's knocking on the door, ponytail and all, and you better have my money.
Gonna break your kneecaps.
It's out of my hands. I can't do anything about it. Furio is coming. And you better have that money ready. No excuses. And that's when you can see, you know, the panic set in. And that's when you do whatever you have to do.
Stooky Brothers.
Self-preservation, by the way, I mean, can make people do some really, really awful things. Look, there's no doubt. I would be embarrassed if this happened to me. I would. I'd be mortified. Like, how could I be such a rube?
But it also is not really out of their hands. The bookmakers are also doing something illegal, and they should realize that, you know, it's not okay to be threatening people for this money. Even if they were adults and they went into this relationship and they lost it, to pressure someone who doesn't have the money to come up with money like that, that is the actual, like, the biggest crime that's committed.
You're
here.
You're a sweet kid for thinking that's not how it works.
I know that's not how it works, but that is what we're talking about. That's why illegal bookmaking is a problem and is something that, while a lot of people can do responsibly, and I only bet like 100, 200 bucks a week, whatever. It's fun. I enjoy it.
Sure.
You know, always settle up with my guy. It's not a problem for probably the vast majority of people who do it. When there's no controls, when there's no system in place, this is where the concern is on a legal, ethical, moral level when it comes to illegal gambling.
Yeah, man. It's, and like I said from the get-go, nothing was ever going to happen. This dude, I don't want to say, and again, this isn't because he's guilty or innocent, but he kind of transcends it right now. And you're going to paint him as just the dumb rube with his head in the clouds, or is he's just so focused on baseball? That's kind of the narrative I didn't want to hear at the beginning. But if that's really the case, and this guy was ripping phone calls, talking to the bank, changing notifications in his phone, that's a lot of trust to give one person. Doesn't make you a criminal. Makes you a moron. Yep. Makes you a moron. Doesn't make you a criminal. It makes you one of the dumber guys around to go, here's my phone, here's my accounts, have a ball, I'm going to go shag flies. Doesn't make you a criminal. It makes you dumb. Man, there's no question about it.
I don't care how much you trusted that one individual. When we're talking these figures with that status of superstar, yeah, you're an idiot.
Well, and that's why the bookie, it's very clear in the text, that's why the bookie kept extending him. He knew who was not backing him, but he knew who he had access to.
And when you're the bookie, it's always good to have a guy deeper and deeper in the hole.
100%.
I mean, you just have more control over that person.
Exactly
deeper,
right.
It's deeper that they go.
It's called the bust out in The Sopranos. You can go take over their sporting goods store, you know, but like it is, it's a gnarly story. He'll be fine. It hasn't slowed him down. I think that you have to be. I think when you're a baseball player of that ilk and that stature, you have to be a little bit sociopathic. I don't think you have a choice. Like, I think you have to be unaffected by most things around you.
Ultimately, it's a very expensive lesson, but it's one that he can afford.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Most of us couldn't, but Shohei Ohtani can afford this incredibly expensive lesson in the real world and how things work. All right, we'll come back. We're going to play a little Take on Woods, get you set. We got a Dodgers series coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.